Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go on a Tuesday, live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. By the way, all sorts of stories on quarterbacks and where they're going. The Carson Wentz thing could happen very soon. So, top of next hour, we're going to play quarterback dominoes. There's a report about Deshaun Watson this morning that's got a little teeth to it. There's a Russell Wilson rumor I don't think has any teeth to it, but we'll play quarterback dominoes in 1 hour from now. And Joy Taylor is joining me. Joy, how are you on a Tuesday?
I'm great. Happy Fat Tuesday. Doesn't have quite the same flair it usually does, but this is my New Orleans trip every year this time of year. We're in L.A. right now, but...
Yeah, I haven't been in New Orleans in years.
Oh, my God. It's my favorite place.
Is it? I want to start with this. So I see a lot of stories, and most of the time I think there's credibility. I don't think the media just makes stuff up. Sometimes in the political media, I think people have agendas. But generally in the sports media, there's no reason to be wrong on something. You wouldn't risk your career on being wrong on something. But I do think people get fed information that's sometimes erroneous or misguided. And I got nothing against Mary Kay Cabot. She's great. I've talked about her before on the show for Cleveland. But I don't buy this story for a second. J.J. Watt seriously considering the Browns as one of his options. I don't buy it for a second. There's a lot of information getting fed out there. And I'll tell you why. So there's 7-8 teams that have been mentioned. I'll just mention them to you. Green Bay, Kansas City, Cleveland, Buffalo, Colts, Pittsburgh, Tennessee. You know, they're all... have their pluses and minuses. The two obvious places to go would be Green Bay and Kansas City, not just because of Aaron Rodgers and Mahomes, but these are organizations that win consistently all the time, W's, and compete for playoffs. The second thing to remember with J.J. Watt, he's not going to take a huge salary. So he may have a contract structured where he makes a lot of money based on sacks. He may have some nice bonuses. Well, which teams in the NFL lead more than any other teams in the NFL? Kansas City and Green Bay. Meaning J.J. Watt in the second half is on a defense that is pass rushing an opponent that's trailing. So this makes sense for J.J. Watt. If I was J.J. Watt's agent, you want to play for the Packers? You want to play for the Chiefs? Because nobody's going to, he's an older player. He's been banged up. He's not going to get a huge salary. He could have huge bonus opportunities based on sacks and production. So you want to play for a team that is often in the lead and you can pin your ears back and go get sacks and hits and hurries and fumbles and all that stuff. But here's why I don't buy Cleveland. Listen, it's funny about the NFL, but for the last 30 years, what I'm about to say has happened every time. But every year I suggest this, people freak out. For the last 30 years, every year, four teams that made the playoffs don't. And that means four new teams do. I know I'm going to suggest this. Cleveland's not going to make the playoffs. By the way, pom-pom waivers, I've nailed Cleveland in the last several years. Last year, a lot of doubters, rookie coach. No preseason. I said, no. Cleveland's going to make the playoffs. I don't know if they can win a game, but they're going to make the playoffs. I was right. Year before, oh, my God, Freddie Kitchens. I said, grease fire. Won't work. Mess. I was right there, too. In fact, last year, I was 7-for-7 on AFC playoff teams. I often wear a robe around Fox Sports that just says, AFC King, Uncle Colin. You think of me as the Herd. I'm known as AFC King, Uncle Colin. So four teams that made the playoffs last year are not going to make the playoffs. And I'm going to give you two of them. The Saints, who are in salary cap hell and won't be as good at quarterback, and Cleveland. And that's nothing against Cleveland. But I'll give you two numbers that are hard to argue yourself out of. Put the pom-poms down. Cleveland last year had a negative point differential and made the playoffs. Virtually impossible. Virtually impossible. The Washington football team that we all rolled our eyes that made the playoffs had a positive point differential. Cleveland had a negative point differential, meaning they got rolled a lot. And also, Cleveland, eight of their wins came against Drek, teams that were 32-78-1 in the NFL, meaning Cleveland beat a lot of bad teams. They beat a lot of bad teams, and when they faced good teams, they often got whacked, and they had a negative point differential. Cleveland's got no history. J.J. Watt's going to pick a winner. Cleveland's got no history of back-to-back years in success. They made the playoffs back-to-back years since the 80s. I mean, just think about that. That's over 30-some years ago. Secondly, they've never made a real commitment to Baker Mayfield right now, so we don't know what their future is. And third, their schedule's brutal next year. Next year, their road schedule is the Packers, the Chiefs, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, the Patriots. Minnesota's going to bounce back. They're not going to be that bad. And the Chargers with Justin Herbert in year two. So I don't know who the new four teams are going to be in the playoffs, because there are going to be four new teams minimum next year in the playoffs. It's the way it's worked 30 straight years. My guess is the Miami rebuild will keep getting better. They had a very good draft. I suspect they'll have another one. Miami will creep in. They got close this year. I suspect the San Francisco 49ers will not have nearly as many injuries. I would guess the 49ers get in. And my two teams right now this morning, and I haven't laid it all out yet, but the Saints are not going to be the same team. They're not. Okay, they got cap issues. They got to let guys go. They don't have Drew Brees leadership. And Cleveland, it was a lot of mirage last year. I was there for it. I thought they'd be a playoff team. They're not going to be a playoff team. And J.J. Watt's not going to an inconsistent franchise. He can cherry pick. He's a free agent. He can cherry pick anybody he wants to go to. He needs to go to Green Bay or Kansas City, not only because you got winning organizations and a history of smart front office moves. The second thing is they lead games at halftime, meaning he can pin his ears back, get more sacks, get more hits, get more interceptions, get more fumbles. That's how his contract is largely going to be structured, my guess today. All right, here's a story that's interesting. So we got a lot of this stuff. This Carson Wentz thing, according to multiple sources who I trust, is going to happen here really quick. So he's out of Philadelphia. He's out. They're done. Whatevs. Whether you like Jalen Hurts or not, doesn't matter. He's gone. They've made a decision. So the Colts and the Bears are believed to be the two destinations that he's going to land. So we all know that the Colts are smart, measured, have often dominated their division. We know the Colts would be a good destination for Carson Wentz. But as I said yesterday, the Colts are not desperate. They don't have a big brother in the division they're chasing. Let me talk about a sleeping giant in the NFL, the Chicago Bears. I'm going to show you something, and it's really astounding. Should Carson Wentz be interested in Chicago? So none of you think that Mitch Trubisky is the future anywhere. If I said Mitch Trubisky is your new quarterback, none of you would cheer that, right? Like, it's over in Chicago. The last 3 years, I'm going to give you, this is in a windy city with one legitimate receiver. They missed Tariq Cohen last year. Last 3 years of Mitch Trubisky's numbers in Chicago. These are better than Baker Mayfield. Now, I don't think Trubisky's as good as Baker Mayfield, but these are Jared Goff, Baker Mayfield numbers. Look at Trubisky's numbers in the last 3 years with Matt Nagy. 25-13, 65% completion percentage, and a 90 passer rating. Also, 57 TDs, 3 picks. What does that tell you? It tells you that Matt Nagy just needs a quarterback. Mitch Trubisky's numbers are not that far off Matt Ryan in the last 3 years. They're not Matt Ryan. They're not that far off. So everybody understands that Carson Wentz is going to want to land in Indianapolis with the Colts. We all get that. Frank Reich, great offensive line. But I look at Chicago and I think to myself, number one, if you're Carson Wentz, Sam Darnold, anybody, Deshaun Watson, You get a great defense. You got the Lions in division. That's two wins a year right there. So you got a doormat in your division. You got, and Trubisky, by the way, Trubisky had played very well against the Vikings also. So you got a doormat in the Lions. You've got an excellent defense. And what's the bar in Chicago? It's not like Carson Wentz would be replacing a legend. They'd move Nick Foles out of town. They'd move, Nick Foles isn't a cap hit. They'd move him out of town. They move Trubisky out of town. Chicago's arguably the great American sports city. It's one of the great cities in America. This kid grew up in the Dakotas. He doesn't care about cold weather. It's probably close to home. I think the Bears are a little bit of a sleeping giant. And I think the Bears should be favored. Trent Dilfer said this yesterday. I think the Bears should be favored to get Carson Wentz, and they would feel like a playoff team if they got him.
I think Chicago has to panic. They have to knee-jerk react to this. And they will probably offer more than they need to get Carson Wentz. They're the little brother in the division. They have to make this type of splash hire for two reasons. One, they got to be relevant again, and you said it. They got to save their jobs, and draft picks for Ryan Pace aren't as important because he knows he's got to win right now or he's out the door.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
So here's another story I don't buy. It's nothing against the person reporting it. I just don't buy it, that Russell Wilson has his eye on the Cowboys, according to Mike Florio. He was on a Dallas station. He said that. Maybe he was, you know, ingratiating himself to the host. I don't buy this at all. But I will say this. There's a lot of rumblings with Russell Wilson right now. And Russell Wilson never says anything. I take a week off, and he's suddenly Howard Stern. He's controversy at every turn. And Florio says, Russell, eye on Dallas. Now, I don't think it's crazy. Dallas is a kind of a star. You know, Jerry Jones likes to create stars. I think Russell Wilson feels sometimes he's jammed up in the Pacific Northwest. But it is funny. The power of likability. It is really funny. So Mike Tomlin has not had a losing season in 14 years. That's pretty remarkable. He gets ripped all the time. Andy Reid dominated the NFC for 5 years, dominated it, and was good for over 10. They fired him. Belichick dominates the entire league for 20 years. Brady leaves. He's 7-9, and there's critics everywhere. Pete Carroll, crickets. Because he's likable. He's chawing on that gum 100 miles an hour. He's available for interviews. I think Pete's a nice guy. He's a fun guy. He's got big energy. Got big energy, Pete. But does anybody ever go, and I like him, but he was fired twice in the NFL. He left USC and NCAA quicksand. They've never recovered. He was 14-18 before Russell Wilson got to Seattle. His coveted defense his last 4 years have ranked 11th, 16th, 26th, and 22nd. He now has incredible power and personnel. In fact, that's why the GM, John Snyder, almost left to take the Lions GM job. And their draft picks have been all over the map. That Jamal Adams trade, there's no safety in the NFL worth two first-round picks. Pete made that happen. The Rashad Penny first-round pick was a mess. It was a draft loaded with running backs. You could have gotten Rashad Penny in the second, third round. He's never played. There's a Doc Rivers quality here. And I like Doc and I like Pete. But Doc Rivers got fired. Doc Rivers has a presence. Like Petey had an early title. He'd been fired a few times. But there's a likability. There's a presence. But Doc Rivers ultimately paid the price last year because the Clippers underachieved. And you tell me, since they won the Super Bowl, doesn't it feel kind of like Seattle is making crap up as they go? Kind of? I mean, in 2018, they lead the NFL in rushing. Lead the NFL. 2019, you're like 19th. Just stop running the ball. Jamal Adams trade, offensive line always feels suboptimal. Even in Los Angeles, if you mention Pete, if you criticize him, people don't like it. There's just, Seattle feels like something is off. We rip Tomlin. We rip Belichick. We ripped Andy Reid. We criticize everybody. Has anybody ever said that franchise up in Seattle feels lopsided? Pete controls personnel. Pete controls the defense. Pete controls the offensive line. The offense looks prehistoric. Just a little pushback? A little? I'm not asking for dismissals and firings, but it is interesting. There is this Pacific Northwest shield around Pete, And if the downside to having all that power, and outside of Belichick, nobody in the NFL has more power than Pete Carroll. Andy Reid does not have this much power. Brett Veach runs personnel. Sean Payton does not have this much say. Mickey Loomis and Jeff Ireland run personnel. Pete and Belichick run their franchises. By the way, neither has been great on draft day the last 4 or 5 years. Just saying.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
So there's a lot of stories today that are out. Carson Wentz is going to be moved here. Philadelphia is trading him. It's official. A lot of top NFL people, Adam Schefter has already reported that. That's going to happen very soon. We've already seen the Matt Stafford deal. Now, these deals aren't official until later in March, but they're agreed upon. So you're going to see something happen this week with Carson Wentz. You may see something with Deshaun Watson. And so I thought this morning we'd play a little bit of quarterback dominoes. I'm just going to roll the dice out, make a few predictions, and I'm going to try to guess where people land as of this morning and as of the reports I hear. So here we go. I'm going to say the Panthers acquired Deshaun Watson. Why? Because you can give Houston everything they'd want. A bridge quarterback, a draft pick, 3 first-round picks, and Christian McCaffrey star power. If you lose Deshaun, you need some star power. This is an organization that needs first-round picks. And remember, Matt Rhule has power in the organization. He's a brand-new coach. David Tepper, the owner of that team, he's a roll-the-dice guy. He is a highly aggressive Steve Ballmer-like owner. They would make a move like this. They'd give up multiple picks, Christian McCaffrey. So I'll go with Panthers acquired Deshaun Watson. Second, I think the Texans then would acquire in the same deal Teddy Bridgewater. He is a perfect one-year bridge quarterback. You're also going to get the 8 pick. I'll talk about that in a second. But Bridgewater was 5-0 as a starter a couple years ago when he subbed. He's not a huge cap hit. He also has the ability to learn offenses very quickly. So there's been some chaos in Houston. He's a very non-chaotic personality. He's very Alex Smith. He walks in, he learns your playbook in 3 weeks, and he's respected by other professional athletes. This organization needs a steady hand. Bridgewater's the ultimate steady hand. The Jets, then, I think, draft Zach Wilson. I'm a Sam Darnold guy. I think he needs a reboot somewhere else. Get to that in a second. But Darnold is 11-22 in 3 seasons. He regressed. He's only 23 years old. I think he needs a reboot. But the reality is Joe Douglas did not draft Sam Darnold. GMs generally want their guys. Zach Wilson, according to NFL people I talk to, grades higher than Sam Darnold did out of USC. Jets get Zach Wilson. After that, I think the Colts acquire Sam Darnold. They liked him out of USC. This is becoming a run-first offense, 55-45. Darnold's still 23. They'll have a year to decide on his fifth-year option. He's a big, strong, athletic, mobile kid. They were limited with Phillip Rivers. They could not move the pocket. Frank Reich has worked with Carson Wentz. He likes athletes at quarterback. Darnold goes, reboots, and tries to prove his worth with the Colts. The Bears then acquire Carson Wentz. They're more desperate. Their GM and their head coach are on the hot seat. Wentz is a strong-arm quarterback. That ball will pierce through that wind. It certainly did in Philadelphia. Also, the Bears have declined to pick up the fifth-year option of Trubisky, so they're obviously moving on. They don't see Nick Foles as the future. And they're a little brother to Aaron Rodgers. You got to have a cannon back there. You're going to go up against Aaron Rodgers twice a year. You got to go for the big smoke. You got to go get Carson Wentz, who's a big talent. From there, I think the Patriots acquire Marcus Mariota. Not a big cap hit. Played in the AFC. He knows the conference. He's an experienced kid. And the reality is, I think after 1 year with Cam, it makes sense. An athletic quarterback who's a fairly accurate thrower. I believe the offensive line, this is going to be, I think you're going to see a better version of what they were last year on offense. The defense we know is getting better because guys opt back in. But I can see them going and getting Marcus Mariota. The Falcons then draft Justin Fields. He's from a high school right outside of Atlanta. They're not going to get rid of Matt Ryan for the next 2 years. But Matt's 35. He's past his prime. And Fields is sort of the opposite of Matt Ryan. He's a bigger arm, very athletic. There's still a lot of people in Atlanta that kind of miss Michael Vick running around making stuff happen. Justin Fields from Atlanta, got a lot of sizzle, probably not ready to start in the NFL, so perfect. You get Matt Ryan for a year or two to run the ship. After that, I think the Texans draft Trey Lance. Again, he's got a little Deshaun Watson. He can throw the ball fine, but he's a playmaker. He can sit under Teddy Bridgewater, who we mentioned earlier, for 1 year. So you get your quarterback of the future. You get quarterback now Bridgewater. You get Christian McCaffrey, some of that RPO stuff. And you get three or four first-round picks. I think this is about as solid and strong a case to be made for Houston moving off Deshaun Watson. And number nine, I think the Saints re-sign Jameis Winston. I think he's got a higher floor than Taysom Hill. I think we saw the ceiling with Taysom Hill last year throwing the football. Never forget that Jameis led the NFL 2 years ago with 5,100 passing yards. He's not highly expensive, and they can't afford right now big money at quarterback. And with Jameis, you get him cheap. He can be productive. And also, we always acknowledge every quarterback's better in the second year of a system. Just because Jameis didn't play a lot doesn't mean he didn't learn a lot. So there's my rundown. Now, there's two quarterbacks I want to mention. Jimmy Garoppolo, I believe, stays in San Francisco. They retain him. We looked it up during the break. He's 24-8 as a starting quarterback in the league. 75% winners. Kyle Shanahan's in a division now with Matt Stafford, with Kyler Murray, with Russell Wilson. He's got to have a veteran quarterback who can win games and spin it. I think Garoppolo can, despite some misgivings about his health. I think they retain him, and I think the Cowboys retain Dak Prescott. They just won 4 of 11 games without him. He was off to a very productive, he wasn't winning, but a very productive start with Mike McCarthy before he got injured. And I think he works for Dallas right now. It's all about the number. Can they find it at 32 to 33, not 37 or 38? But these are my quarterback dominoes as of this morning. Again, I'm guessing it all starts with Deshaun to the Panthers.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Bucky Brooks, we use him here at Fox Sports. He played in the NFL. He is a scout in the NFL. And he dealt with that pro day with Trevor Lawrence. And Bucky Brooks is now joining us live. This is a time of the year we can really go deep with Bucky Brooks. So, listen, this has been a kid. I saw him at a high school workout in San Diego, and I just was blown away by his arm. He's put on about 10 pounds. He's having surgery on his other shoulder. I don't know what that means. You broke down the workout. What do you see from Trevor Lawrence? Any concerns, trepidation? What'd you see?
No, I mean, he's a very clean prospect. And the thing about it, Colin, he and Justin Fields have been on the scene for a long time. Those guys have always been number one and number two in whatever order since they were in high school. The thing about Trevor Lawrence is Trevor Lawrence has gotten better each and every year. He was at Clemson. On the field, he gives you everything that you look for. He's athletic. He has outstanding arm talent. He can make quick decisions. He is pinpoint and precise with the ball. I tend to call him Justin Herbert plus, meaning everything that you like about Justin Herbert plus a little more explosiveness and pop. That is what Trevor Lawrence is. And then when you get off the field, the intangibles, the leadership ability, the way that he led this program in the offseason, not only in terms of the return to play, but doing the social justice movement. Trevor Lawrence is a very mature prospect. He's someone that I can understand why everybody raves about him as a franchise quarterback.
Okay, what quarterback in this draft is do you think? I mean, none of them are undervalued. I mean, we're told we like all of them. Is there anybody that's a little to you more undervalued than the other ones?
Yeah, I think we when you look around the mock draft scene, there are a lot of people that have kind of moved Justin Fields down to number three and maybe even number four. And some drops. And I think that we're making a grave mistake because I think we're being very nitpicky about his game. What Justin Fields is a five-star talent. with outstanding combination of physical tools and overall ability. Now, where he needs to improve, his processing in terms of being quicker against coverage and those things. But Colin, we have seen him on big stages look like the best guy on the field on multiple occasions. And I think sometimes we spend a lot of time worrying about how he looked versus Northwestern in Indiana. But in a league in which we've seen Josh Allen become a star player, there's no reason why Justin Fields couldn't become a star player in this league in the right system.
Yeah, I don't get it. We do this all the time. I remember people used to beat up on Andrew Luck, didn't have a great arm, and it was good enough. That's all I know. It was good enough. So let me ask you about J.J. Watt. So if you were a scout for multiple teams, you're a GM today. Let's forget J.J. Watt. I think I would bring him in, and I would structure his contract. Like, for instance, Green Bay. Green Bay is a team that leads in 80% of their games. Meaning, if I was talking to the agent of J.J. Watt, I'd say, listen, we're going to be leading. He's going to pin his ears back. Let's do a bonus-based contract. He can get a lot of sacks and a lot of production. He's our missing piece. That makes sense to me. Now, he's older. He's had some injuries. But when I watched him this past year, Bucky, I thought he was a good player. I thought he was a disruptor. Where do you think, what would you be willing to do with J.J. Watt if you ran a front office today? What is he?
Oh, I think he brings a lot of value. I think his leadership ability, I think his pass rush ability certainly is still valuable in today's game. We just saw a Super Bowl where we saw Jason Pierre-Paul and Ndamukong Suh have a major impact as 30-plus-year-old players. So J.J. Watt still offers a tremendous amount of value as a pass rusher. To me, I think the natural fit for him, the Green Bay Packers, having spent time in Green Bay, having known that J.J. Watt is from the Wisconsin area, there's a little bit of legacy there. Remember, he is a brand. The Green Bay Packers are a national brand. He'll get a chance to be on Monday Night Football a ton of times. He'll play with a quarterback in Aaron Rodgers that is guaranteed to put him in situations where he is playing with the lead, so he'll be able to get after the passer. And so when I look at the situation, Green Bay to me is an ideal fit. I will also say the Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bills are a great cultural fit for J.J. Watt. This is a team full of hardworking guys. Sean McDermott is a no-nonsense guy that has developed a culture there. I think J.J. Watt would be a nice fit in that situation, and both of those teams score a bunch of points.
Yeah, they do. They play with leads. So, you know, I was saying this earlier. Mike Tomlin's never had a losing season. He gets criticized. Andy Reid dominated the NFC for 5 or 6 years. They ran him out. Belichick had his first losing season in forever, and even guys like me are like, you know, man, he's a little rigid. Pete Carroll, who was fired multiple times, has now more power than any coach except probably Belichick. In fact, John Snyder almost left to take the Lions job because Pete had so much power in terms of personnel. But yet, as the defense slips in Seattle, and as they have had some very big whiffs in early rounds in Seattle, Pete never really gets, he's a little Teflon. There's a Doc Rivers quality where we like him. He's got a preference, a presence. He's won a title. We like him. You know, there's something about he lights a room up. But when I look at Seattle since the Super Bowl, Bucky, I feel like sometimes they're making crap up. They're taking big trades, weird first-round picks. They go from leading the NFL in rushing to 19th. Pete doesn't get any – nothing sticks to him. Is it time we examine Pete a little more closely?
Well, I mean, I think he's under more fire now more than ever because Russell Wilson has recently come out and kind of voiced some of his concerns. The thing about it is it is really hard to take shots at Pete Carroll when you see the amount of success that the Seattle Seahawks have had. They're consistent winners. They're always in the postseason tournament. They're always on the cusp. I think the thing about Pete Carroll and what he's wrestling with now is how do I play the style of football that I want to play with a franchise quarterback? The difference was early in Russell Wilson's tenure, it was easy for Pete to use Russell Wilson as a game manager. Running game, defense, they won a lot of games, went to 2 Super Bowls, won one, probably should have won 2. But since they've handed the keys of the kingdom to Russell Wilson, the team wins, but they don't win at like the optimal level. They haven't been back to the NFC Championship game. They haven't been back to the Super Bowl. So Pete is at a crossroads in terms of how do I want to play? And I think his post his post-game comments after the loss to the Rams in the playoffs, I think they were telling. He talked about, we have to get these teams out of cover two. As much as he wants to let Russ cook, it is detrimental to the team because the big plays aren't there, and it also exposes the defense to more snaps. I think they have to figure out the way to play. Bringing over the new offensive coordinator from the Rams is a way, because they want to be a run-oriented team, but they want to have some of the sex appeal that satisfies Russell Wilson. That may be able to happen with this new offense that they're putting in.
Okay, from a scout's perspective, LeBron came out the other day and said, listen, in 2011 we had a lockout. I started working myself into football shape. I absolutely know I could have made the Seahawks. They asked me for a tryout. Tight end is a very unique position. Mo Alley Cox, Jimmy Graham, Antonio Gates. It is not it's not quarterback. It's not technical like a center or a tackle. It's not cornerback where it's a specific skill of matching up. Big dudes that can run can be taught to play tight end. And I do look at LeBron and I think to myself, he would have made the NFL, right? Like, he would have been a nice player in the NFL.
Oh, he'd be more than a nice player. I mean, Colin, you named off those names. Jimmy Graham, Antonio Gates. I mean, let's throw Tony Gonzalez in there. I got another one. Julian Thomas. All those guys went to Pro Bowls, and they were just, I would say, average basketball players. And LeBron James, you're talking about a top five basketball player who was an all-state wide receiver in high school. He would have been 26 years of age at the time when he would have entered the league. He absolutely not only would have made a team, I would have bet on the fact that he would have been a star player. You don't see guys of that size, that stature, that can come over the middle, that has some experience. Would it have happened right away? Probably not. But in time, there's no way I would have bet against LeBron James not being able to be a dominant player on the gridiron based on what he did in high school, based on his physical dimensions, and what we know about his work ethic and his winning pedigree.
You like this time of the year, right? You this is for you. This is fertile ground for you and all this movement and stuff. Were you a fan when you were in the front office? You know, you work all year, all this scouting, and then your team goes out and gives up draft picks. And you're probably sitting there thinking, well, what would I scout all year for? How do you view... you know, you get Carson Wentz and you got to give up first round picks or Deshaun Watson. As a scout, would that drive you nuts?
No, I probably come from a different standpoint because I'm players over picks. I'm about a proven commodity over what could be behind door number one, number two, or number three. So if I have an opportunity to get a blue chip player in his prime, I am more than willing to pull the trigger on that. We have seen what Jalen Ramsey was able to give the LA Rams when he came over. Great player in his prime. He played at that level. We've seen others be able to come over and do those things. So for me, yeah, I ask you towards give me what I know to be true, someone that I've seen do it in an apples-to-apples comparison in the pros, as opposed to apples and oranges. Can this college player project? Will he play in the right system? I like proven players. So, yeah, I'm a little more on the player-friendly standpoint as opposed to the draft picks. There's a method to the madness, but yeah, I want good players.
By the way, we know Carson Wentz is going to fetch some picks. What would you do with a Sam Darnold who regressed last year? What is his value, in your opinion, as a former scout on the market today?
You know, it's funny because I hear people talk about first-round pick, but to me, I think he is somewhere in the second round. Yeah. I think he brings back a second-round pick. I just don't know how you can justify with his numbers and performance and production a first-round pick, because with that first-round pick, what you're saying is I'm getting a true starter, someone that's going to compete. I'm going to hit on it 75% of the time. I just don't know. I think Sam Darnold can be a good player, but based on what he's done during the league, it's hard for me to say, absolutely, I'm going to give up a first-round pick. Second rounder, I'll make the deal.
Former NFL defensive back and scout, now Fox Sports NFL analyst, our friend Bucky Brooks. Good seeing you, partner. Nice having you on again.